This is VOA News. I'm Marissa Melton. 4 Republicans voted with House Democrats on Tuesday to approve a resolution condemning remarks made by President Donald Trump that they deemed racist about minority Democratic congresswomen. The House resolution passed 240 to 187, said Trump's comments, quote, have legitimized and increased fear and hatred of new Americans and people of color. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi called for the chamber to unite in expressing its disapproval.
And there's no excuse for any response to those words but a swift and strong, unified condemnation. Every single member of this institution, Democratic and Republican, should join us in condemning the president's racist tweets.
The majority of Republicans rejected the resolution. One congressman said it does a disservice to the nation. Pirates have attacked a ship off the coast of Nigeria and abducted 10 sailors from the Turkish cargo vessel. Another 8 sailors remained on board the ship, which is now in a harbor in Ghana. The Turkish shipping company said its vessel was sailing without any freight from Cameroon to the Ivory Coast when it was attacked in the Gulf of Guinea. The International Maritime Bureau says the Gulf of Guinea is home to 73% of the world's kidnappings at sea. U.S. authorities said Tuesday they've arrested former Peruvian President Alejandro Toledo on a Peruvian warrant for corruption charges. He denies the charges. U.S. Marshals arrested Toledo in California. He was a visiting scholar at Stanford University. Prosecutors accused Toledo of taking a $20 million bribe from a Brazilian construction company in exchange for a government contract to build a highway between Peru and Brazil. Toledo denies the charges. He was Peru's president from 2001 to 2006. More on this and other stories at voanews.com. This is VOA News. The U.S. Department of Justice announced it will not bring civil rights charges against the white New York City police officer involved in the chokehold death of Eric Garner, an unarmed black man, in 2014. Here's Richard Donahue, the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of New York.
We determined that was insufficient evidence to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Pantaleo acted in willful violation of federal law.
Garner's mother, Gwen Carr, said she was disappointed by the decision.
5 years ago, my son said, I can't breathe 11 times. And today we can't breathe. Because they have let us down.
Garner died while in New York police officers were attempting to arrest him for selling untaxed cigarettes on the street. His words, I can't breathe, uttered during the struggle with police, have become a rallying cry for activists protesting his death. North Korea has criticized U.S. plans to hold a joint military exercise next month with South Korea, suggesting the drills could negatively impact upcoming working-level nuclear talks with Washington. North Korea's foreign ministry says the exercise violates an agreement reached last year by Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un in Singapore. The current Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo is affecting more children than normal. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
The World Health Organization reports more than 2,500 cases of Ebola in eastern Congo, including nearly 1,670 deaths. The UN Children's Fund says about 750 of those cases are children. UNICEF spokeswoman Marixi Mercado says children under age 5 are especially hard hit.
The case fatality ratio, or the number of cases who die among this group of under 5s, is 77%. That's compared with 67% among the general population.
She says children who are separated from their parents or orphaned from Ebola need longer-term psychosocial care and support to help them get over their loss. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
The United Nations Children's Fund says kids represent nearly one-third of current total cases, compared to about 20% in previous outbreaks. John Paul Stevens, who served on the Supreme Court for nearly 35 years and became its leading liberal, has died. He was 99. Stevens' contributions include rulings on abortion rights, protecting consumers, and placing limits on the death penalty. He led the High Court's decision to allow terrorism suspects held at Guantanamo Bay to plead for their freedom in U.S. courts. He retired in June 2010 at age 90. I'm Marissa Melton, VOA News.
morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Wednesday, July 17th. And here are some of the stories we are covering. The Nigerian opposition coalition says it is not in favor of a security conference.
It's a jamboree, waste of public funds, as nothing will come out of it because it's not going to be different from all the security summits that have been called in the past, especially the one by the APNET, which has not been implemented.
Ikenga Imo Oguchinyere is the spokesperson for the Coalition of United Political Parties. Zimbabwe's economy does not seem to be recovering despite government promises. African parliamentarians urge their governments to foster gender balance, and the Council of Patriots in Liberia have called for yet another protest, this time against next week's July 26 Independence Day celebration.
We would not have the president taking $1,500,000 to celebrate a July 26 program that is not important at all. What is important right now to see how best our citizens can live a better life?
Yeka Koluba is a member of the Council of Patriots, but the Liberian government says the protesters will need a permit. And Niger's farmers nurture gao trees and regreen the country. Those stories and more are coming up on Daybreak Africa. The Nigerian Senate is calling for a summit to find ways to resolve the country's security challenges. In a unanimous resolution, the Senate condemned the surge in kidnappings and killings across the country. But the Coalition of United Political Parties, a Nigerian opposition umbrella group, says calls for a summit are unlikely to help address the insecurity in the country because President Muhammadu Buhari has failed to demonstrate leadership by firing all the security chiefs. Ikenga Imo Oguchinyere is the spokesperson for the Coalition of United Political Parties.
To us, like I said before, is a jamboree, waste of public funds, as nothing will come out of it because it's not going to be different from all the security summits that have been called in the past, especially the one by the APNET, which has not been implemented. There have been clear reports from the National Confab. They have even been ordinary Electoral Act amendments that the president could not sign that would have saved us from the electoral crisis of 2019 election. So embarking on a security summit is just to waste time, divert attention.
The Senate has unequivocally condemned the killings, calling on the Inspector General of Police to extend his dragnet to fish out the perpetrators. You don't think this is a call in the right direction?
No. The IG was appointed for a job, which is to secure and police the country. And he has not been able to do that, even with a Senate resolution. If you don't have the capacity to do a job, you don't have the capacity to do a job. It doesn't matter how many resolutions. The point that the intelligence gathering is zero. Because how come these bandits move in numbers of 20, 30? Satellite image can show you the movement. How come they are staying inside Nigeria, in Ogun Forest, in Oyo Forest, in all these areas, in Zamfara, in Katsina? You can hear them. They come from there in motorbikes, in bikes, in golf carts, kill men, rape, and destroy, and go back every day. You talk about resolution. The point that the people, starting with this responsibility, does not have the capacity to do the work. With all due respect, starting with the president and his vice, you don't make prayer and error with human life. And we have given them everything they want. Over $3-4 billion have been spent in this whole thing, and we don't have a result. So as long as I'm concerned, this whole thing starts from the head. The president has not been able to show leadership.
Are you therefore saying that the president should also fire the Inspector General of Police because he has not lived up to expectation following calls by the CUPP for all security chiefs to be let go?
Yes, very simple. The president has even given a timeline to his subordinates in the last 4 or 6 years. Clear them in 3 months, clear them in 5 months, clear them in 10 months, clear them in 1 year. Each time he gives the instruction, the situation gets worse. So either the people he's giving the instruction are not obeying the instruction, or maybe they're obeying the instruction, but what I mean, they don't have the necessary capacity to be able to carry out the instruction. Now, as I speak to you, over 24 states have been taken over by citizens of bandits, whether you call them Fulani heads or whether you call them criminal, whatever. And bandits are taken over and operate freely, mark my word, freely. In those things, and nothing has happened.
Former President Obasanjo has written a letter, an open letter to the president, warning that there could be an ethnic style genocide just like in Rwanda in Nigeria. What is your take?
Anyone who says that Obasanjo is playing to the gallery in God will say the fool. Let that person go and ask the woman who told her how they gave him and the husband three options. Either the rape man, or rape the 9-year-old daughter, or rape the woman. And the woman, knowing what will happen to the husband. If it's volunteered and they raped her for 6 days, over 20 minutes, you saw the video.
Ikenga Imo Ugu-Chinyere is the spokesperson for the Coalition of United Political Parties of Nigeria. He spoke with U.S. Peter Clotty from the capital, Abuja. In Liberia, the group calling itself the Council of Patriots has called for a three-day protest against government-sponsored July 26 Independence Day festivities. The group was behind the June 7th anti-government protest that drew thousands. Yaika Koluba is a member of the Liberian House of Representatives and a fierce critic of President George Weah's government. He says the government cannot spend $1.5 million for Independence Day celebration while Liberians are feeling the impact of a bad economy. But first, Honorable Koluba accuses the government of preventing his family from leaving the country over the weekend to seek medical treatment in Ghana.
My wife was traveling along with my children, as usual. You know, my wife gave birth to twins. She is now well. She was actually traveling to Ghana for medical purposes, and they were denied at the airport for no reason, because the president said he wanted to put some strength to me by showing me that he's the president of this country. He gave instruction that my family shouldn't travel. So we're going to test the process again on Saturday. I have bought tickets for them. They will be traveling on Saturday. We want to test the process again to see if they will be stopped, if the human right again will be violated.
Did the government give any reason why they are holding on to the luggage?
There have been no reason given. The only reason I know that the IT justice minister said, the president said, my family shouldn't travel out of the country. So I think that's going against human right of my children. Those children are under age. You got like 1 month, 2 weeks old babies that were seized at the airport under the instruction of this president.
There were some charges against you. Have those charges been dropped? And do you think what's happening had some relationship to what happened to you before?
No, I think on our law, crime is not transferable. So I don't think if I've committed any crime, should go to my children. Those children are minors, and they are entitled to their human rights.
Now, I hear that there is another protest being planned, what they call the pre-Independence Day protest, because Liberia's Independence Day is July 26th. Are you part of that protest?
Yes, I am a part. You know, I'm a founding member of the Save the States, the COP, so I'm going to be a part. Look, Omobote, our people are suffering in this country. We would not have the president taking $1,500,000 to celebrate a July 26th program that is not important at all. What is important right now to see how best our citizens can live a better life? But if the president will be celebrating using $1,500,000 just for a 3-hour program, it's not necessary. Our people, for example, Lebanon National Police have not taken pay for 4 months. Medical practitioners have not taken pay for more than 4 or 5 months. And this government is doing nothing about it. If the president and the government mean well, what they should be doing is to take that money, transform it into getting medicine for hospitals around here. You check all the hospitals in the country, there's no medicine. There's no drugs. Our people are dying every day out of starvation. Then we should sit and have the government celebrating program for 3 hours with $1,500,000. It's not necessary. Our protest will be starting on the 24th of this month and will be ending on the 26th.
That means you don't want the people to celebrate the Independence Day?
No, it's not about celebrating. They will be celebrating, and we'll see who will be celebrating too. We are going there to do a peaceful sit-in. Our protest is going to be very, very peaceful as usual, like we did on June 7th. But this time around, we are very serious about it. Saturday, I'm going to buy some parts. One of the parts will be able to take 100 cup of rice. We will be cooking from July 24th straight to the 26th, where we will do a sit-in from the 24th to the 26th. We are not going to leave our protest place. We are going to sit there until the president responds to our petition. Our people can be suffering and will be celebrating July 26th. Why are you using $1,500,000 for what? Okay, let's take that money and divide it to our people. They don't mean well for our people. Until the president can adhere to our plot, we will protest. On the body, I want to say to the international community that our protest will go on and will be very peaceful. We will be there, we will sleep there, we will eat there, we will take bath there from the 24th to the 26th. And it's going to be very peaceful.
Honorable Koluba, thank you. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you, Mr. Bote.
Yaika Koluba is a member of the Liberian House of Representatives and the Council of Patriots. He was speaking with me from the capital, Monrovia. Today is Wednesday, July 17th, and you're listening to Daybreak Africa on The Voice of America. I'm James Bote in Washington. Daybreak Africa time is coming up at 15 minutes past the hour. Liberia's Information Minister Eugene Nnaboye says anyone wanting to protest against next week's July 26th Independence Day festivities must first obtain a permission. He denies the government is spending $1.5 million for the celebration. Instead, Nabwe says the cost of the festivities is under $400,000. He says those behind the protest are part of a disgruntled opposition that was defeated in the 2017 presidential election. Meanwhile, Nabwe says the government prevented Representative Yeka Koluba's wife from leaving the country last weekend because she failed to produce documents to show that she had the permission of her husband to leave the country with her children.
The wife of Mr. Koluba, the representative of District 10, was stopped at the airport because she had arrived there with seven children, and under our procedures that the government has effected, she could not produce any documentation that she had either permission of her husband to take the children out or that she had any permission from the guardians of the other children that she was taking out. It had no political motive. It had no motive about Mr. Koluba himself, but it's a procedure that every Liberian single parent wanting to take a child out, even a single child, I will have to adhere to.
Mr. Minister, how many Liberians have this particular law applied
to? My wife was traveling to Ghana with my daughter, and I had to go through the same procedure as a minister of the government. There are several other Liberians that go through this. Our country has been ranked by the U.S. Department of State as having had issues with child trafficking. So in collaboration with international practice, we have put into place these measures. And all Liberian single parents who are traveling out with kids will have to go through these measures. Mr. Yeke, his family, his wife, their children have a right under our laws to travel freely once they have met all of the rudimentary requirements.
The group that staged the June 7 protest, he informs me that they are planning pre-Independence Day protest, this time criticizing your government for spending $1.5 million to celebrate the Independence Day when some segment of the society have not been paid their salaries.
Mr. Weah became president and he defeated the establishment. The establishment is fighting back and they are using all of the apparatus of the establishment to fight him back. We have been celebrating Independence Day since 1847. This is not something invented by the president, and we are not spending $1.5 million. The entire budget for the Independence celebration is under $400,000, as I speak to you. And most of those are going into projects that the president will go and dedicate during the ceremony. So if anybody wants to protest or demonstrate, we will not dignify these people. We have a celebration to carry out. We have invited several guests, including presidents of the region. President Buhari will be here, President Ouattara, President Manabio, and other presidents, including the president of Burkina Faso, will be here. We will celebrate our freedom. We will celebrate our democracy. And those who believe that on the periphery, they can try to obstruct the progress of the country, to obstruct the democratic flow of our country, are in the minority. And we are not interested whether they want to have a demonstration on the 15th, the 20th, whatever. They have to do so in view of law. If they are not granted the permission, they will not be allowed to disturb the Independence Day celebration.
Mr. Nambwe, thank you. It's always nice to talk with you, sir.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Eugene Nambwe is Liberia's Information Minister. He was speaking with us from the capital, Monrovia. The U.S. Special Envoy to Sudan says the Trump administration is concerned about the situation in Sudan and wants to see a tangible commitment from the Sudanese military leaders toward forming a civilian-led government. Speaking to reporters in Khartoum on Monday, Ambassador Donald Booth said Sudanese are waiting for a change. Michael Atit has the story from Khartoum.
Special Envoy Donald Booth says he's here in Khartoum to hear from the parties about how they intend to move the political process forward and how they can be helped to reach an agreement. Booth emerged from a meeting with Abdul Fattah Burhan, the head of the Sudanese Transitional Military Council, last evening to say he believes the only way forward is a civilian-led transitional government in Sudan.
We had a very good discussion about the process that's underway to try to reach agreement on forming the civilian-led transitional government that the Sudanese people have been waiting for too long at this point.
Booth says both the Transitional Military Council and the Forces for Freedom and Change Coalition should not ignore the thirst for change among Sudanese protesters who had been on the streets since December. He says he hopes his presence in Sudan will help the Sudanese leaders to realize that vision.
And I'm hopeful that in the very near future that the Sudanese people can have their dreams of a transitional government led by civilians, an independent prime minister, that that will become a reality. That's why I'm here in Sudan, is to talk with all of the parties to show that the United States is interested and committed to helping.
The special envoy said the U.S. is committed to mobilizing resources around the world to help Sudan move towards economic development, but first, a civilian-led government must be in place.
The United States very much wants to see Sudan turn the corner that was begun by the protests on the street in December and carried through by the Sudanese people. And I'm also working with the other international partners of Sudan to ensure that if the Sudanese do achieve this breakthrough, that they will be supported by the international community.
Speaking in Arabic, Abdul Basit Idris, a Sudanese journalist and a political analyst, says promises of economic support are not healthy because they usually never see the light of a day.
These kinds of promises are just for diplomatic reasons, and as Sudanese, we don't trust them. In 2005, there was an international economic summit for Sudan after the peace agreement, but nothing was implemented, and the United States went further, splitting Sudan into two failed countries.
Ambassador Booth is expected to join the Transitional Military Council and the Forces for Freedom and Change Coalition as the two sides try to finalize discussions on the political agreement, including a decision on who should have the power to hire and fire high-ranking officials in key government agencies and departments. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Zimbabwe's economy is now recovering despite government promises, policies, and strategies. Inflation is skyrocketing as prices rise for everything from fuel to food and even data. Reporter Kuzai Navashi has details.
Leaders of the Apex Council, the civil service representative body, protested at the government complex, saying the salary raises they received are not enough for civil servants to survive. This comes after various price hikes over the past week. Harare resident Kimberly Kute explains.
The first thing that went up and shocked a lot of people was the price of fuel. Petrol was $5.26 per liter, and it's now $6.10 per liter. Diesel was $5.07 per liter, and it's now $5.84. Data charges also went up from $2.50 for 250 megabytes. To $3.75 for 250 megabytes.
Economist Chris Chenga explains why it rose to more than 170% as of the end of June.
The economy is going through some contraction. This comes from reduced government spending and contracting to, for instance, state enterprises. You've got naturally your reduced economic activity due to persistent power cuts.
Finance Minister Mthuli Ncube recently reassured the nation that they are putting in measures to protect the public from the inflationary effects.
I intend to increase the threshold for income tax to give people relief. The issue really is inflation. What really happens is that when we unleashed this currency reform agenda and journey on the 1st of October last year, and we didn't tell you it was a currency reform journey, because we couldn't tell you. That unleashed inflation, and that is the problem.
The rising inflation may drag on due to unforeseen increased government expenditure in light of promises for raises for the civil service.
There are expectations for it to reduce, as the Minister of Finance has said, by October, but those seem challenged. We don't expect inflation to subside in the short term, and we wait to see for more structural measures that would counter the increased spending by government. That would probably be from increased investment and from the private sector.
Chenga says the few investors who remain in Zimbabwe are yet to get their money out, and prospective investors are waiting to see if the country will reform into an open market economy. While the value of incomes for many workers keep getting eroded by inflation, calls for salary increases keep growing, both in the public and private sector. Ncube says Zimbabwe will start charting a new economic path in October. Only time will tell if that path can turn things around. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zinawashe from Harare.
Parliamentarians from around Africa are urging governments to foster gender balance and set initiatives to promote female farmers. The legislators are holding a four-day learning exchange conference on gender equality and investments in agriculture and food security, which are key issues affecting food supplies along with drought. Eugene Uimana has details from Kigali.
Members of Parliament of the Economic Community of West African States and the East African Community say if women farmers are not given land rights, among other rights, agriculture on the continent will keep on being just an occupation. Christophe Bazivamo is the Deputy Secretary General of ESC.
But activities which are done on the ground in general are done by women. So they are the most involved in this sector. And it is important then to understand that empowering women financially, capacity building, is empowering our agriculture sector, and this is empowering our national economies.
According to Rwanda's National Statistics Institution, agriculture contributes 29% of the country's GDP. Regionally, this sector contributes 25 to 40%. Donatile Mukabalisa, the Speaker of Rwanda's Parliament, says this importance made government work on the laws that include women in the value chain.
We have enacted law governing land in Rwanda, which guarantees equal right on land access, ownership and utilization for both male and female. The law governing matrimonial regime, donations and succession, which provide for equal inheritance rights between women and men, girls and boys.
The Food and Agriculture Organizations, FAO, estimates that more than 50% of women in sub-Saharan Africa practice agriculture. But the problem, it says, is that the lack of gender balance and other related rights leave those women in poverty because they go to farms just for going. FAO says this keeps the continent hungry. Gorbat Gubehun is FAO's country director.
To give a sense of the magnitude of the problem, let me recall that in 2017, nearly 821 million people do not get enough to eat, and 2 billion people suffer micronutrient deficiencies, a hidden form of hunger due to malnutrition. Therefore, it is clear, despite progress achieved in the last decades, that we still have a long way to go to end hunger.
The gender equality activists say Africa will not be able to achieve the Agenda 2063 targets for Africa if women farmers are farming just to obey their husbands, not for business. Jean Wimana for VOA News, Kigali, Rwanda.
Briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. The Nigerian Senate is calling for a summit to find ways to resolve the country's security challenges. In a unanimous resolution, the Senate condemned the surge in kidnappings and killings across the country. In Liberia, the group calling itself the Council of Patriots has called for a three-day protest against government-sponsored July 26 Independence Day festivities. The group was behind the June 7th anti-government protest that drew thousands. Meanwhile, Liberia's Information Minister Eugene Nnamdi says anyone wanting to protest against next week's July 26 Independence Day festivities must first obtain a permission. That's it for this Wednesday, July 17th edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, producer Nicole Beckford, reporters Peter Clotty and Rick Estriak, as well as sports editor Samson O'Malley, I'm James Barton in Washington wishing you a good day.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.